At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. I am your host. As always, you can listen to us on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But we're also streaming live on Twitch, on YouTube, and on the Everything app. Also, if you're in the car and you don't want to stream us on YouTube, Twitch, or the Everything app, you can also stream us on the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand with the rewind feature. But we're also streaming on the TuneIn Radio app as well as the iHeartRadio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. The reason why we are streaming live is thanks to George. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey. How's
it
going?
Oh, man. What
How
a week.
How is it going?
Oh, boy. It goes. I spent all Sunday. I finally got my car back. Which is
beautiful,
awesome.
By the way. That's, I love it.
The work at Caliber Collision, this is a free ad. Sorry, Nicole. The Caliber Collision on Covington Pike, I cannot say enough good things about them. This whole situation's been an absolute nightmare. But their communication, the work that they did, how upfront about it. Like, normally when you get the estimate, like, you're like, okay, that's a good ballpark. I swear to God, it was like within cents. Like, everything about it. So
tight.
I cannot say enough good things about the Caliber Collision over there on Covington Pike. Shout out to Shannon and her team. They did phenomenal work, and I am grateful to have my car back. But because I also had to have my car back, I also had to get the rental car back. And
oh, it's a mess.
You're worried about the old $250 cleaning fee. I spent yesterday just cleaning out a rental car in the cold, and it was absolutely miserable.
Especially when you've had the car for that, it's not like it's, you know,
at that point it's become
a two or 3 day type shindig.
No, at that point it has become your car. It's not just like getting the rental car to do the road trip. No, it essentially had become my car. My company is each and every Monday on the program. He, of course, is the maestro of fun and games here in the Memphis area. He's the host of Writer of the Right Trivia. We'll be back on Thursday on the Jeff Calkins Show. His website, CerritoEntertainment.com. He's on the Everything app at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Season's greetings, everybody. It's great to be here. Jeffrey, man, it's cold outside. You're right. It's cold.
It's miserable.
But there's so much sports going on. So much sports going on.
So much is happening.
Which got me thinking, would you rather it be a hot July day with no sports to talk about or a cold and miserable December day with major coaching changes, the biggest coaching carousel in the history of college football? The Grizzlies playing great. Do you want to, with your job in particular, would you want it to be the dog days of summer with nothing going on or the miserably cold winter-like day we have today with so much going on?
So it's funny that you mentioned this because I do think there's a personal preference and then a professional preference. And I'm not trying to give a cop-out. I'm trying to
You're
explain.
Capping. It's a cop-out.
Well, I'll tell you what I actually prefer. But it would go against my career. I would prefer for it to be July, hot, nothing going on. Primarily because when you have those types of topics, nobody's really on edge. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
those are the days that, yeah, you can maybe slip into some things that are a little bit off topic, or it becomes like a previewing the season, but there's not been games and whatnot. And so even though you have less like data points to actually talk about, you actually have lower stakes, and everybody's not really that upset with you one way or the other. When you get into these situations where you have these very emotional stories one way or the other, everybody's on edge. And I really am not like a takesmith. I do try to tell people what I think. You can disagree with me, but I think when it becomes these types of issues, if you simply tell people what you think, if they think something else, it just becomes heightened. And I don't really, I'm comfortable in that environment, but like, I don't seek it out. Like if you need me to get in the mud, like I can get in the mud with the best of them. I went to boys school. I can handle this. Like I know how to do this, but it's not like I seek out controversy or seek out controversial stories just to, you know, fire up the old numbies, if you will. So I do think I prefer the July aspect of it, but from a professional standpoint, this is the best, right, because everybody's paying attention.
I mean, it's good that they line up the way they do, because it is cold and miserable, so we can sit inside and follow the stories and watch the games.
Sure.
Versus in the summer, let's get outside and do some stuff. So, yeah, it's great that it does line up the way that it is. But anyway, what are we? Whew, oh, my goodness. So, Jeffrey, I woke up yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yes, it was yesterday, Sunday morning.
Sunday was a – George, see if you agree. I know George's head was elsewhere. He was in the middle of a Kiffin war.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe it's because Kiffin sucked up all of the oxygen. I woke up Sunday, and the only coaching move that I was like, yeah, I thought that's what was going to happen, was John Summerall going to Florida.
Right.
Like, Golish getting Auburn took me by surprise. I've never been more flat-footed than Ryan Silverfield getting Arkansas.
Was always like talked about, but I felt like he was further down than just plan B. I thought he was plan D-E-F.
I thought he was below the floor, and it turns out he was not. I thought the floor for them was going to be Kane Womack, who went to Arkansas, played at Arkansas, was wanting the job. He's the defensive coordinator at Alabama, and he was really campaigning for it. However, it seems that when Alabama won on Saturday night, that meant not only is Alabama going to be in the SEC championship game, but they're also, I don't think they're going to get docked for, if they lose the SEC championship game, I don't think they're getting knocked out of the playoff. And so this seems to have been the coaching carousel hiring cycle of, we need you here immediately. And because I suppose Hunter Yurecek was very apprehensive about, you know, he's going to be still being the defensive coordinator at Alabama. He didn't think he'd be ready to hit the ground running as Ryan Silverfield can right now. That one caught me by surprise.
No, without a doubt. I woke up, I made my coffee, I fed the cat, and I was like having a nice, I knew 9 o'clock was the players only meeting was originally scheduled for Lane Kiffin. So I was like, I'm going to check in with the news around 9:30. So I could see what's leaking out from this Kiffin meeting. So
I
meeting got bumped to 1, but I check in and it's the Ryan Silverfield news, and I'm like, "Wah!" So that was my Sunday morning. Was I was checking in to get the info and the latest on the Lane Kiffin saga and the Ole Miss coaching situation, and got a big Tiger football coaching update. My goodness, what a Thanksgiving weekend, because that Thanksgiving Day game was awful. But Ryan Silverfield started the weekend losing to Navy, ending the weekend the coach at Arkansas.
Again, I knew Ryan was up for jobs. I don't know. I just got caught
flat-footed. What is to say more about Silverfield or the Arkansas job? My goodness.
I mean, I think we'll just start here, because we'll focus on the carousel. Ed Scott, everyone at Memphis should send the world's greatest, I'm talking Oscars after party gift basket to Hunter Yurecek and the Arkansas athletic department. Because this is not just how I personally think about Ryan Silverfield as a football coach. It allows you the cleanest break possible, because we were looking at going into a season where you're opening the renovated stadium with absolutely no juice and everybody just in this malaise. By having this opportunity, it allows everybody a fresh start. Ryan's going to make a ton of money. Ryan's got a tough job in front of him, but he's going to make a ton of money. And now Memphis can actually have a coach that the athletic department supports and actually hired.
Yeah, it's the dream situation. Like, I'm a big reality show person, right? Big Brother, Survivor, Traitors,
Coaching Carousel. That is now, right. Like, thanks to Lane Kiffin, we have had the, like, it is now truly a reality show.
It does feel like there needs to, in one area of sports, it doesn't seem like I know we've gotten more coverage this week, and we can talk about the dude from ESPN. Who's that guy?
Marty Smith.
Yeah, he's fantastic. But from the reality show perspective, like when you want, like if you're on a reality show and there's somebody you in these competition reality shows that you don't want on the show anymore, but
yeah.
You kind of you want them gone, but you know they always can say like, I don't want to get blood on my hands. I don't want to be the one who looks responsible for it. I want this result, but I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Yes,
and that's quite often when something like that happens, it's a very
it's the old Pontius Pilate for those that might have read their New Testament. It's the I'm wiping my hands off
right,
this. This guy's innocent. There's no reason I should charge him. I'm wiping my hands clean. This is on you.
Right. Like on the reality show, you might be in an alliance with somebody that is, but you think is your biggest threat or competition, whatever. You want them out, but you can't really turn on them because it makes you look bad and it'll hurt you going forward. Anyway, it's very much a reality show.
Especially if like there's a vote at the end, right. And you've got yes.
Yes, like, and they got to vote for you later. So like it's you want to get out with your hands clean. And this was the dream scenario, Jeff, where we brought this up just like for weeks and months, it seems like, whether it's on this show or just like, talking to people around town or off the air with Jason and John, whoever. Like, it's like this was the dream scenario is what happened.
Correct.
Like, but it was one that was so we thought was out of the realm of possibility, especially how the season was going, because we just felt like the Tiger football team was stuck in this mediocre position. And the leader of this mediocre team, why would anybody want mediocre to come to them, to leave here and go somewhere else? Because the Tigers were just mediocre. And so it was a relief. It was like it was really a Christmas coming early in the fact that I did not think by the time we got to the Navy loss, I thought there was no chance. There was no chance anybody would be coming for him, and especially somebody of the level of Arkansas. Like I feel like that's a better job than Pastor going to Georgia Tech, right? Like it is.
Oh yeah, because when Pastor went to Georgia Tech, there was a legitimate argument that wasn't even a lateral move. Like that was a rung down, because while Georgia Tech has some basketball history, that was not the case when he took the Georgia Tech job.
Right, and so there could not be. I don't think there's much arguing on like this is the best scenario possible. Memphis, there's nothing negative that happens, and then it's just the fear of the unknown is kicked into some people, and you get your classic. I heard it this morning on Calkins show, people calling in wanting Hugh Freeze already, and can you sum it up in one? As the station's official Hugh Freeze. Correspondent, expert, what can you just sum up? Just put it into the Hugh Freeze thing in one sentence. What would you say?
Why?
Because he's a name. I think that he's a name with local ties that was successful for a moment.
How much? How successful was he? Because the reality is, his record is very similar to Houston Nutt's. Anybody want to clamor for Houston Nutt when he was at Ole Miss? He got a lot of mileage. The reality is, his entire brand was built upon beating Alabama twice. Houston Nutt beat, honestly.
Well, Hugh Freeze also, the Blind Side helped his brand a little bit.
But if I guess nobody's read The Blind Side. If you actually read it, his brand is not that great in that. But he essentially builds the entire brand off of these two wins. One of which, I would argue, was a very good win. When in 2014, when Alabama came to town, now it took Alabama missing like 6 field goals, but in the second half, they outplayed them. They beat them at their own game, and they win in 2014.
He was highly successful at Arkansas State for that job.
A lot of coaches have been highly successful at Arkansas State.
Maybe it's a better job than we think.
He was highly successful at Liberty when he was able to schedule 136 out of 136. But my whole thing is
okay. But I just no. I'm not one of the. I'm not advocating for you, Freeze. I just want you to squash it because I think it's this is a as obvious as it gets as far as like people throwing out names and names have been thrown out all over the place already, right? I don't want a name that I know. I don't want a name that I know. You might know the name slightly, Jeffrey, and I'll be okay with that. But I want it to be an assistant, that an upcoming assistant coach from somewhere. I don't want a name that I know that I see. You know, this person's coaching this team in conference. I don't want it to be a name that I know. That's what has worked here at Memphis. That's what worked with Norvell. That's what worked with Fuente. That's part of the reason it didn't work with Silverville, because he was a name that we knew. He came from inside. I don't want anybody coming from inside, and I don't want anybody coming on a rebound, right? Mm-hmm. I want somebody coming from outside of Memphis, and they can have Memphis ties, sure, but they got to be on the way up in a name that nobody knows. They're coming here to make their name and make a name for themselves, and that's what this job's about.
Yeah, I think, to me, this is the big point about this. You have an opportunity to finally reset and get back to the formula. The formula was find a young coordinator that was hungry and would hit the ground running and do something with his job. The problem with the whole Silverfield of it all was the context around it. So Ryan publicly and privately made a big push to get the Memphis job in a way that if he would have kept making that push for his program, like maybe things would, maybe people would feel a little bit differently. Maybe he'd have a better job than Arkansas. I don't know. But they had it all in line. Dan Lanning was going to take the Memphis job, and it was going to go from Norvell to Lanning, and then you wind up with kind of a power struggle where Laird wanted Barry Odom, and Barry and Laird have a relationship. And obviously there were some people in the room, the decision makers, that were like, what else you got? And so you wind up having this situation where there's a certain segment that are like, let's just do this the way that we've done it. Yes, Dan's not an offensive guy, but he's a young coordinator that is a rising star. Why don't we just do this? And then you have the other factions like Barry Odom's is a former P4 coach. He's got a winning record. Like, let's get this. And Ryan winds up being the compromise candidate. And you could hide behind
and
the...
Remind me, which athletic director made this?
This is Laird. So then you could also hide behind the... Well,
he gave them the terrible contract.
Well, but not at first. At first, the contract was very friendly. It's the extension contract that happened, I think, after the Iowa State Liberty Bowl year.
But tell me, why compromise against what was working? If it's not broke, don't fix it.
I think it's because you had competing interests in the room.
And did it become very much so like corporate America of rewarding and the people that are there?
I think where it became, so you have a couple of issues here. Number
who would have upset if you never hired Ryan Silverfield and hired Dan Lanning? I'll tell you, looking back, I think nobody. Somebody would be upset for like a year. But we're talking, for those tuning in who don't know Dan Lanning, that is the head coach of Oregon.
Correct.
This is the guy who's the coach at Oregon. Could have been the Memphis coach, but they hired Ryan Silverfield because of politics.
And
maybe because of money?
A little easy. No, I really don't think money was not an issue. Money wasn't going to be the issue. It was also an easy thing to do. Ryan had built up the fans. The fans kind of got to the point where, hey, this is, like, let's keep it rolling. So, now, I mean, this is not revisionist history. I said this in real time. I screamed from the rooftops this is a bad idea.
It's very similar what is happening in a way at Ole Miss, and we can compare that later. Because we're going to spend probably half this hour talking about Ryan Silverfield, another half talking about Lane Kiffin, because, I mean, to have both Memphis and Memphis have a coaching change on the same weekend. Plus, about what? Almost half the SEC with their hirings and firings yesterday, like six or seven SEC teams yesterday made some type of move with their coach, whether it was hiring a new one or getting rid of one when you counted Kentucky at the end of the night.
I knew it was trending towards Stoops getting fired. When did he actually get fired? Because I felt like
it was super later on last night.
Yeah. I mean, it was late. last evening. I don't know if it was before or after I watched Stranger Things.
Just
and I felt like I didn't even see Jonathan Smith get fired, but then it's like Jonathan Smith gets fired, they're targeting Pat Fitzgerald. It's like, well, that's a coup. So that one was done.
It was at like 9:30 that we saw the news that Stoops was getting let go.
Okay, I was wrapped up in the Grizz at this point.
So they obviously made the mistake last time. And it's return to the formula. You're like, you believe in it so much, you just call it the formula.
Correct.
Like, you know it is the formula.
Yes.
And I believe, I want it to be the formula. I want it to be somebody that I don't necessarily know. I can look at what they've done and say, ooh, that looks impressive, right? But... Well, I don't want to know their names because I don't know all the offensive coordinators. And
well, this is why I also think that there's an opportunity here that the formula could be even more successful. Now,
like, that's why doesn't Arkansas go to that formula?
I think there was an obsession in the SEC with getting somebody that was a sitting head coach.
Even if they're not successful, I mean, look, we could like get. Ryan did not accomplish what he was supposed to accomplish here. Ryan Soderfield did not do what he was supposed to do. We talked about Penny last year. At least Penny and at least Penny Hardaway did what he was supposed to do last year as the Memphis coach. Since Ryan Soderfield took over, he has not done what he's supposed to do. He has not made the conference championship.
In the 6 years of Ryan Soderfield, the Tigers went 46-24 and 27-21 in conference play. In the 6 years prior... So this starts with Justin's first, the 2014 season. So if you start with the 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 seasons, the Tigers went 55-16. And then in conference play, they went 36-12.
Those records are not awful. Why?
I'm saying it's a lot worse. And it's a lot easier league.
Oh, well, that's true. That's
true. 2014 through 2019.
I'm historically from Memphis.
No, I'm saying these are good numbers, like, but this has also been my argument.
But I guess you could. I don't know what, like, Arkansas, are we blind? We see it from a different perspective because we're up closer than Arkansas. Because, like I said, you could give me a coordinator. I don't know their name, but show me their resume, and I could be impressed and say, yeah, that's the guy. I think I see what you see there. This is worth trying. With Ryan, I don't know what Arkansas is what they're seeing there, but maybe they're just looking at certain things and like, hey, he had more than a winning record at Memphis, but...
I think with Arkansas, it came down to a couple of things.
How is this going to be better than...
Bad athletic directing. And they botched the deal with Alex Golish. By botching the deal with Alex Golish...
How do you think they botched that? What did they do? I mean, obviously, they weren't successful, but...
I think they didn't get the deal to the finish line, and I think it was probably over, like, a laughably small amount of money.
Really?
Yeah.
So, Alex Golish going to Auburn, right?
Correct.
And so, he's going to Auburn. He was at South Florida. It was opening up that job. Tulane coach got a new job.
Florida.
At Florida, which is, I mean, these guys are going for the fact that three coaches from this conference getting jobs in the SEC.
Four.
There's a four.
Three is in it, the SEC, and then Eric Morris is getting the Oklahoma State job.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. But three in the SEC, yeah. I guess it benefited everybody that there was so much parity in the American this year that it made it look like everybody was okay enough.
I guess, though, this is my whole point. It's like, when I sit there and say...
Why would they... I don't know. And maybe, I mean, where would you rank of the four American coaches getting the new job? Where would you put Ryan Soderfield in that? If you had to hire one of them today, which one would you?
Last. Because I do think it's fair to say Eric Morris took Oklahoma State over Arkansas.
Which is interesting. Do you think Calipari has anything to do with this?
I do not think you can ignore it. I think, and this is not even like John controls everything. I think the market told us that coaches were very apprehensive about this job because John's got it rolling and all of the money is largely starting with him. And so there's a real concern that they're not going to spend on the football program, and therefore that's how Ryan winds up there.
And, I mean, this is the best case scenario for John Calipari.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he was all that concerned. Like,
it's going to make it easier, but this Arkansas team's pretty good.
Because I'm not even sure, like, for
football's not exciting now with this. Like, when you make a new hire and it doesn't get the fan base that excited, I know there's the philosophy of, like, oh, eventually you're going to get behind your coach. But, like, when? When are they going to get behind? Like, they're not excited right now for Ryan Silverfield. Well, and what's going to get them excited?
I guess
he going to do press over there? He's going to go on one show a week like he did over here?
I mean, do you want him doing press?
I don't. That's part of the job. I mean, and you know who's going to be doing press over there every day?
Okay, but
John Calipari.
But that's my thing is, like, Ryan's not charismatic.
Again, another check mark. Great job for John Calipari.
Let's go to your original point.
Which one was it? But it's interesting,
Cal of it all. Yeah. Because one thing that I learned throughout this coaching search, guys that I was sitting there going, that's a pretty good hire, fan bases were totally out on. So, for instance, when I saw last week Alex Golish was going to be the favorite to get the Arkansas job, there were a lot of Arkansas fans that were not fired up about that.
Who did they want?
I don't know. I guess maybe they're hurt from, they're annoyed from the James Franklin of it all when James Franklin was available. And I think they thought there was a chance there and Franklin took Virginia Tech. And then I think you see Eric Morris take Oklahoma State. And then all of a sudden you now think, okay, Alex Golish, the guy that just stubbed his toe at South Florida. But like I looked at it like this. When he took over South Florida, they were 1-11.
Right.
And I don't just think every Florida school wins at football.
I don't. It has to be the right coach.
I mean, FAU is struggling mightily. FIU struggles mightily. Florida State is struggling mightily. Florida is struggling mightily. Miami's doing okay, but they're still stubbing their toe. But like, I don't think it's a God-given right if you're just a football program in the state of Florida that you're going to win. UCF is going to miss a bowl game?
They have not been winning. He's got them back on track where they were winning. And the fact that we're going to go into next season with the teams that were the four best teams in the conference,
well,
all with new
Tigers
coaches.
Tigers were six.
That's right. It's Ryan Silverfield's fault again. Yes.
Yeah.
They were six. Who was it? Navy was five?
Navy finishes ahead.
Of course. Navy was better. They sure looked better
on Thanksgiving. ECU finishes ahead. All right, let's see.
ECU. Oh,
Marcia. North Texas, Tulane.
So why didn't they want ECU's
Navy
coach?
So they all tied at 7-1 in league play.
Does it matter that Memphis beat Arkansas? Is that why they wanted Ryan Silverfield? We're spending a lot of time, I know, I'm trying to come to figure it out.
I think the argument would be he runs a football program. Like, he's organized. He's organized. Like, there's no scandal. Like,
okay.
The closest thing we had to scandal was the whole COVID party bus.
So it's a void. Right. Well, that was apparently bigger than, you know.
Well, it's enough for him to openly lie about it and the president of the university to openly lie about it.
Okay. Let's say you're in charge. Would you, you would hire Ryan Silverfield over Bobby Petrino?
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
Because that's the thing. Bobby Petrino is still. Nobody's hired him yet. I'm not saying Memphis should hire him by any means. But Bobby Petrino would sell more tickets.
I seriously don't know the answer to this. Have they ruled out that Bobby's just not going to be Ryan's offensive coordinator?
No.
Would you want that? Arkansas, yes. I would want that if I was an Arkansas fan.
I think Petrino's a good offensive mind.
This is a guy. No, I would want. But I'm saying, no, that's why I'm asking this question. Because I would have, if I'm Arkansas, why not just
Petrino? Ryan's in that position where a coach that doesn't have a lot of leverage.
I don't want a guy standing behind you, though, wanting your job. He wants the job.
I mean, I can think of about 35 million reasons why you'd be fine with that. Like,
sure. I mean, you accept the terms. If you're going to go to Arkansas, you're going to go to Arkansas. Especially under the current clouded situation he's in Memphis. Of course, I'm not saying it was a deal breaker for Ryan by any means. I'm saying it's not ideal if you're going to get the job and Bobby's still going to be there.
Let me just say this. If Bobby Petrino is their offensive coordinator,
it could be a path to success.
If that was not surprise to Ryan. Ryan was in the position where any coach that boosters would have said, well, we want this guy to stick around, those guys are going to stick around.
I mean, of course, I mean, Bobby did not have the greatest finish, and who knows how he would, Bobby Petrino would adapt to. That's
typically how it goes for him, but continue.
How he would adapt to the current, NIL and all of that. We haven't seen him do that. With the roster he had, he did not finish strong in this season for Arkansas. Didn't do anything impressive by any means while he had the keys to the car. But would the fan base be more excited? Maybe not because of how it finished. Maybe that was the worst thing for Bobby Petrino, is to get the interim coaching.
I don't think it was coincidental.
Because that made it where he's not a candidate.
Correct.
Yeah.
And but, so, but I mean, honestly,
who would you hire is what I was asking.
Oh my God.
Would you hire?
All right. I gotta have a couple other questions. If I'm hiring Bobby Petrino.
Yes.
Is Bobby going to have a general manager that he has to listen to?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I think you can have caveats and. Certain,
okay, but I guess this is the thing, is like, I need him on board. Yeah, I'd probably hire Bobby. I think Ryan is, at this point, has proven he's a good offensive line coach.
Right, and and that's what a lot of this coaching search stuff, it clouds all off the fan perspective and everybody. We've seen the people who have been successful, even if it's for a short period of time, like Hugh Freeze, and people think, ooh, maybe that guy's available, he would be a great, he'd be great for it, right? And that, obviously, Hugh Freeze, if Memphis is lucky that they did not hire Hugh Freeze. There's been different coaches that I thought, okay, well, maybe Memphis should have gone after Hugh Freeze, and I'm talking years ago, right?
Sure.
And Bruce Pearl, for instance, like years ago, like, oh, this guy would have been the perfect fit for Memphis at the time. And but no, I'm not advocating for Bobby Petrino or for Hugh Freeze for this job. I want, again, somebody that
I guess this
that
is
I
the
don't
other...
know. But we're veering off. I was just trying to solve.
No,
the...
I think this is another issue with
is
this
it
job.
Just,
now.
There's too many vacancies, and that's why they took everybody from the American. Like, there's never been a, like, we talk about this many SEC coaching changes, but the amount that are going to happen to the American Conference, like that many of the coaches in the American Conference were sought after for. These are pretty high profile jobs. I mean, we're talking Florida is involved in poaching from the American, Auburn.
So there's a few things at play. Number one, there will always be in a hiring cycle kind of a group think, even if you're not swimming in the same pool. And this coaching cycle seemed to be defined by sitting head coach. And what is interesting to me about the Memphis of it all is now these high-profile offensive and defensive coordinators, like, they're not getting these gigs. So does that open up an opportunity? Hey, everybody,
yes.
We've got the number one stepping stone job. Now, the difference, though, is so it appears Will Stein is heading to Kentucky. George, do we have any more on that? Because there was another name I saw pop up. Dan Mullen.
Mullen, I have not seen anything about the name.
Mullen's also coaching in a championship game this week.
Right.
Mullen for
Kentucky.
The only one I've heard so far for Kentucky is Stein.
Okay, so the reason why I use the Will Stein example, Will is the offensive coordinator at Oregon, and he's kind of the up-and-comer guy. But now these schools are willing to pay their coordinators $3 million plus. And they don't have to move, and they don't have to take wins and losses. They can sit it out and wait. Does that mean somebody like, a Buster Faulkner, who's at Georgia Tech, who is highly thought of in the offensive community, is that an option? Because, like, I think pretty highly of him. Could you go and get Colin Klein, who's at Texas A&M and has done a good job? But, like, Colin's going to be at a job where Texas A&M, they got to pay $3 million to keep him. They probably are, if that's what he wants. But do you want your chance to be a head coach? And that's what Memphis can provide. But like, I also wonder, like, does Memphis look at it in these terms, of which is, well, we don't have to go do that, because now what we can go do is we can go find the head coaches that are in the G6, and we can offer them they have a win-loss record, and we know like what they are. Like, could you go get Jason Eck? Could you go get Dan Mullen? Could you go get you know, whoever you want out of, you know, well,
does
Tyson
Memphis
Helton?
Does Memphis want Dan Mullen?
I don't know.
Most successful coach ever, Mississippi State. I think he would fit in well at Kentucky. I feel like that's
always iffy on the numbers. Sherrill may have had higher highs, but to me, Dan Mullen, given the time and place, like, was the most successful coach at Mississippi State.
Yeah, they'll tell you the number one ranking in the college football playoffs and all that stuff.
There is one other name I'm seeing floating around with Kentucky, which to me, at the very least, points him towards a head coaching job, and that's Brian Hartline.
Yeah, Hartline's the offensive – well, I guess. He's the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, but he's the former receiver.
Receivers coach, yeah. I think passing game coordinator, and now both passing game coordinator and OC at
I wonder Ohio what State. It does make you think what these coordinators are thinking now, right? Like, if you are – typically you would get the jobs. There was obviously the Saban tree of coaches. You know, if you were assistant for Saban, you were not far away from getting a head coaching job. But after this cycle, it's like you're a coordinator and you're still a coordinator. And
well, I mean, there was only one coordinator that got moved up, and it was at the job that he was at, and a lot of things had to play out a certain way, and that's Pete Golding.
And right, okay, exactly. I mean, that's you're talking about the new head coach in Oxford. Yeah, I mean has to play at a very particular.
I mean, basically, it had to get to the point where Texas wins on Friday night. Meaning that Ole Miss was now one game away from playing for the SEC championship. If Auburn were to have beaten Alabama,
close to happening.
I mean, it was a tie game in the fourth quarter.
What would be happening today for that?
I think we would be still doing this song and dance. And I'll tell you why we would still be doing this song and dance. We'll get into the Kiffin of it all when we come back. Let's take a break right now. We'll come back next and talk the Lane Kiffin of it all in the coaching carousel. Right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right. At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Kevin, so also, the weekend was largely defined by Lane Kiffin. So here's how I think we should present this. I've spoken on God knows how many different platforms on all of this. And so I don't even know, like, I don't know what I've said, where. So I think I'm going to present it to you this way. You said you were following along and you were intrigued, much like a reality show that it largely was. I think I'm going to leave it to you to ask the questions you have, and then I'll try to answer them to the best of my ability.
Well, I think we should pause for a second and just understand that, as you know, as terrible this has turned out for our Ole Miss friends and family and colleagues across the glass. We're in an Ole Miss shirt right now. It is something to be a part in just a small way than so many of us were of the biggest story in college football for the year. That Nell Lane Kiffin, I think, is, if he wasn't before this madness started, the biggest celebrity, I believe, in college football at this point.
I think it's fair to say this. He is the single biggest character, like, in the...
People have thoughts on him.
I think even more so, like, he is a more significant character than, like, Kirby Smart, than Dabo, Dan Lanning. Like, the guys that are at the top of the sport, than Ryan Day, certainly. Like, as we, like, ushered out the Sabins, the Harbaughs, you know, all these legendary figures, we kind of were in this, like, holding pattern. It feels like Lane has taken up the mantle as the biggest name.
And how long would that last at LSU? We'll find out. Right, it is a harder job. We've talked about whether or not you would. It's harder and easier at the same time, right? The pressure is going to be turned up. You could have the job for life. I would have, if I was Lane, stayed at Ole Miss for the excitement of doing something that's never been done for the people that you're doing it for. Like, LSU is not going to care as much. They're going to care more that you're not doing it as the coach of LSU than when you actually do. Accomplish it. So look how fast they ran off.
Brian Kelly.
Well, no, I mean, he didn't. It was never a great fit. That was a bad hire. But
Orgeron was fired. Within 18 months.
But it wasn't his team, which shows necessarily that he was with, right. So I mean, it was like a different time.
Yep. Then.
So anyway, it can move quickly at LSU, and I wish him luck. Yeah, I was following along because this was the national story. So I just wanted to pull, like, this was the story, like, not just in college football, but in sports. Like, I get in the car, drive around on Black Friday. That's all they're talking about on the national ESPN radio. Like, oh, I get in the car, get back in the car. It's Lane Kiffin 24/7 on the radio. You know, they'll go back and forth on some other stuff. But this was the big story. And it ended the way we did. Is there anything that Lane could have done to better, I guess, number one, to present himself better? Is there any Ole Miss fans that don't despise him? Those are, I guess, my questions.
Man, I would say the only way he could have handled it better was just to not make it public. Maybe, you know, your family's going to go look at the new places. That happens all the time. But maybe don't have it, like, in the hangar. Like, there's ways to hide the planes and whatnot. Like, you don't let it get out. Maybe after the last home game of the season and the fans show up, show out, maybe talk about, like, what a great environment it was rather than just kind of, you know, throw shade at GC last week during the Citadel. Like,
right.
He could have been a little bit more gracious. I liken it to, for those that followed along when Kevin... he was at Maryland. He's now the Seton Hall coach. Kevin Willard. I think it's Kevin Willard. Scott Van Pelt said it best, which is, if you want to leave and take another job, that's fine. Just don't spit on the front door when you're leaving. And so does that maybe change things in the sense that, like, Ole Miss fans wouldn't be upset? Probably not, but I don't know if you wind up with dozens of people at the Oxford airport lining up to try and give double birds as he and his family board two planes headed to Baton Rouge.
Right. I mean, when John Calipari leaves Memphis to go to Kentucky, there were still a lot of people apologizing for Cal, saying, oh, he has to go to Kentucky. It makes sense. So, I mean, he still had some Memphis fans wrapped around.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say this, even finger. Though, like, John was, like, actively campaigning and flirting with Kentucky, but it wasn't like he didn't allow it to become like a sideshow.
I mean, there was people watching doors and camped out.
Yeah, but I'm talking about during the season.
True. And that could just be calendar timing.
Like, if we weren't in the middle of this, you know, we weren't in the middle of the first weekend of the tournament.
I'm not saying there should be. I mean, it's a different, like, you're going in conference, right, to LSU after you proved, you know, but there is this as much as I say I would, I would stay at Ole Miss because the idea of accomplishing something that's never been done before. But there are still some reasons. Like, it does make it easier. As great as he is, it's going to be easier for him at LSU to be successful. There's going to be more pressure to be successful.
I think it has a higher ceiling.
There should be. It should be easier. Like, it's easier for John Calipari in Kentucky. Just because you can be successful at a place like Memphis doesn't mean you necessarily want the obstacles you have to overcome to be successful at Memphis. To not have to worry about the things you had to worry about at Memphis, you could be successful at Kentucky. And maybe that's there for Ole Miss. I don't know. Maybe in this new era that you could have been successful. We will never find out.
Yeah, but I mean, anyway. I think the other complicating factor is I think you're probably better off betting that LSU can figure this out, but in this era, they've not proven it yet. Now, have they not proven it because they made a bad hire with Brian Kelly, who was not receptive to this era, and never, like, by the time they started, you know, actually accepting the way things are, it was too little too late.
Because it does seem like Lane has not really been that successful in any other era except the Ole Miss era for his career, right? He's had some moments, but, like, he's nothing. This is the most success he has really had, and it's in this current era. So I could see LSU wanting him as the coach because he's a guy who was able to be successful in this era at a place that's never been as successful as this in the modern era. But that, so there's nothing he could have done different. I mean, there's lots he could have done differently, but to make people at Ole Miss, and we're not going to like him anyway, but the Pete Golding.
Yes.
Got promoted, coordinator promoted. What does this mean for the coaching? So first off, I'm going to say, I don't think there's ever been a time in recorded history where the Ole Miss coach now looks more like an Ole Miss
fan/student
as he does, and the Mississippi State coach looks more like a Mississippi State fan/student than either. Like, they think they both
They were both Ole Miss coordinators at the same time.
They both look like they would go to their respective schools or graduates from their schools, even though they're not. So yeah, Pete Golding looks like an Ole Miss guy. And what's the name of the coach at Mississippi
State?
Jeff. So yeah, he looks like a coach. Both of them look like, they well represent. You say draw an Ole Miss, what the Ole Miss coach should look like. Draw what they both look that way. Now, we'll see. You have confidence in Golding's?
So I guess the way that I would look at it is the spin zone's obviously going to be when Brian Kelly left for LSU, Notre Dame promoted Marcus Freeman, their defensive coordinator, and that has been the best hire that we've seen in the last 5 years, like bar none. I guess the way that I look at it is, as long as Ole Miss keeps the variables at play, meaning as long as Ole Miss still is committed to being at the forefront of NIL and being able to pay, as long as Ole Miss still kind of stays ahead of the game in terms of having a GM, being portal conscious, like having a good scouting system, because where I think Ole Miss has been great under Lane, it's not just that Lane does the portal thing, it's they have a pretty high rate of no busts. Like, Juice Wells was probably an overpay last year, but, like, for the most part, when they've gotten guys out of the portal, they've ended up contributing and being good players, and so they've done a good job of identifying fits and whatnot. And then if you can keep the alignment that they have, which is a chancellor and athletic director that believe in being as good in sports as possible and giving their coaches all of the necessary resources, I think you can be fine. Now, the question, though, for me, though, is, and I don't know, you'd have to dig into their financials.
But nobody else nobody else was hiring him.
No.
He was not going to be on Memphis's list.
No.
More than likely.
Probably not. Now, I also think this is true. Pete Golding got to Ole Miss in 2022 because most people thought Lane was going to leave Ole Miss after that year. Pete was going to go be the defensive coordinator, and Pete was going to have as good of a shot to take over the job as anyone. That's what actually ended up happening It just took a circuitous route, and it took longer. But that's where we are.
It doesn't happen. It feels like it doesn't happen very often that you hire that coordinator internally, and they are successful. I know Dan Lanning, and that ended up happening with him.
But Dan wasn't even an internal coordinator. Dan was, when Cristobal left Oregon to go to Miami, Dan was at Georgia.
So he went somewhere else.
Correct.
And then, and you had Marcus Freeman, though, at Notre Dame.
Correct.
That was the last time we saw a coach, like the LSU coach, leave, and then they promoted the. So it worked for Notre Dame. Is that what Ole Miss fans could definitely convince themselves that, hey, it worked for Notre Dame. They did it when they lost their coach to LSU. We might as well.
Well, then you can also talk yourself into kind of what we've seen with BYU when Mark Pope went from BYU to Kentucky. That motivated BYU people to be like, wait a minute, we gave you everything you asked for. We've been wildly competitive in the NIL space. Like, we'll show you. Here's a bunch more money. And then A.J. DeBanza winds up, the number one player in the country, winds up apparently just wanting to be a Coug. So,
well, what if, okay, so what if it plays out that they, that Miss, the Ole Miss has, like, a, what we have seen is the historical traditional result of an opening round playoff game now in the 12-team era, which is Mississippi State's on the losing end of a blowout. And he's the coach. Like, did they jump too quickly to make him the permanent assistant? It seems like,
I think they were,
quite frankly, we have an interim often attached.
I think they were in a horrible spot. So they're in a horrible spot for a couple of reasons. Number one, Lane wouldn't give him an answer. Every other coach that left gave their school an answer. Lane wouldn't give him an answer. Now, this is where Ole Miss comes into play a little bit. I'm not saying that they're equally at fault.
Okay.
But what happened was, if you recall a couple weeks ago when the Kiffin, how would Kiffin's job status affect Ole Miss's candidacy for the college football playoff?
Because it can be a factor, right? They say your seating can be impacted by a coaching change.
The example that was given was Florida State. But what was pointed out was when Florida State lost Travis, they played a game and you saw how bad they looked without Travis at quarterback. And so they said, well, they gave us a data point. So where Ole Miss is somewhat responsible, and I use that very, very loosely, Ole Miss started thinking like big picture. What is the most important aspect of this? And it is making sure that our playoff candidacy is not impacted or is impacted minimally. And so when they heard the whole data point, that was when they decided the best case for us is to finish this season and pray to God it looks good. On Friday, they played pretty well. It wasn't a perfect football game, but they won convincingly. They did nothing that would hurt their resume. And they got through it. The complicating additional factor, though, was after Texas lost on Friday, now Ole Miss is having to wait until the end of Saturday night to see what happens in Auburn, because if Auburn were to have upset Alabama, they were going to be in the SEC championship game. And were they really going to go to the SEC championship game and have an interim coach? And what if Georgia just knocks them out? And then all of a sudden, now, even though they've gotten to the SEC championship game, but now you had Vanderbilt at 10-2, you've had Texas rise up at 9-3 with the A&M win. Were they going to start leaving it up to judges and making an easy decision? Like, it's not the same team without their coach. Moving on. So Ole Miss is somewhat responsible in the fact that they were so paranoid of diminishing their playoff candidacy that they've kind of gone along with this. Now, there were other fixes to this well before this, because Lane would not give them an answer because he was trying to have his cake and eat it too. He wanted to coach the playoff team and then go to LSU. Because of that, Ole Miss fell behind all of these other similar jobs in their coaching search. And so then you wind up on Saturday night going, all right, if Auburn loses, Golish is going to Auburn. Summerall, Florida did the whole ultimatum thing with Summerall. Guess you can apparently give ultimatums for coaches and not get blamed for it. Florida said, you know, if you want to be the Florida coach, here it is. And you've got 48 hours to decide. John Summerall says, all right, I'll go be the Florida coach. Well, Ole Miss has now fallen behind all of those schools with the candidates that they would have liked, and now they're left with, well, what do we do? And so they made the decision of, let's go with the coach that has, during this entire Kiffin thing, there has definitely been, Pete is very vocal of saying he wasn't going to Baton Rouge. And now you rally behind him. I don't know if they have an offensive staff yet.
Not, they haven't named anybody to any particular spots. There have been a couple, obviously, more than a handful of those offensive coaches have gone to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I don't know if you followed along. No matter what Kiffin says, an ultimatum was given to the coaches. Either you get on the plane and you're going to Baton Rouge, or you're not getting a job.
So we don't know yet how many. I mean, I know this blended over. It was on NFL pregames and stuff yesterday that I saw.
We have a pretty good handful. Let's see. The general manager, strength and conditioning coach, the offensive coordinator, I think wide receivers coach. I don't know about the running backs coach.
Ole Miss was acting like yesterday that Kevin was going to stay. That came as a surprise to me because I thought Kevin was like
tight
Lane's right hand guy.
I have not seen anything about Kevin,
but I don't know.
And then the one that kind of surprised me was that the quarterback's coach, Joe Judge,
yes,
100% staying.
Yes, so his son's on the team.
Did not know that. That's good to know.
And I'm guessing if...
he's probably going to be the play caller.
I'm guessing if they can't have things work out a certain way, he's going to be the play caller, yes.
Probably. I could see that. And then most of the defensive staff is staying because they're all in line essentially for...
Correct. Like the way Ole Miss kind of worked was... Pete Golding was like the head coach of the defense, and Lane was like had the other side of the building.
Lane controls the offense for sure.
Yeah.
It's becoming very obvious that the take that I heard from Saban and a lot of game day people even Kurt Herbstreit was saying this stuff over the weekend. There was a narrative of, oh, he should be allowed to stay and coach through the playoffs. I mean, it's got to be pretty obvious now that should not be.
So I guess this is the question.
Like, there was a lot of talk on Saturday. Like, if he wants to go there, he should be allowed to stay.
So this is the question that I've had all along. Does any normal person think this? Because it felt like it was a definitely friends of Kiffin or associates of Kiffin or business partners of Kiffin.
Right, mentors.
That were making, I don't even know if I'd call them mentor. All of a sudden, though, apparently Lane and Nick are good again.
Right, aren't they?
But, like, I just kept waiting for somebody to sit there and press Nick on game day. You fired him for this very thing.
Right.
It was in the middle of a playoff. You said you're distracted. Get out.
Not even just in the middle of the playoff. Essentially on the eve of the national championship
48
game,
hours, yeah.
Which they lost.
Correct. So why did nobody push that? There's all...
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.